Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I serve at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges with you and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can find us on the web by Googling Good News Christian Ministries. This morning, I want to take you into the life of David. There are many of you listening to me who have been following Jesus, but you know your spiritual life is flat. It's not what it should be. This morning, I believe that God wants to speak into your life through the life of David. As we go through the life of David, I want to tell you a couple of quick stories. The year was 1990. I had just arrived at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and I still pastor there. At that time, worship was with the band, especially with drums, was a little edgy. But we cautiously stumbled forward into this new kind of worship. When I came to the church, there was about 100 people on a Sunday, and there were about 30 university students and about 70 seniors, and empty nesters, and really not much else. Other than the assistant pastor and his wife and myself and my wife Linda, there were three other young married couples. But God was gracious. In that first year, a lot of university students came to Sunnyside. We had something called Night Celebration, which was once a month evening worship service. There were times that the presence of God in that place was palpable. There were times when there was anointing for students, an anointing on worship. And I don't know what else to call it. God was very present in so many different ways. The year was 1993. I think I had been pushing fairly hard. I was dealing with a number of personal challenges. I was dealing with a growing church and a changing staff. In short, I was feeling flat. Somebody had organized a conference with some great speakers in Lansdowne Park. I remember I was sitting about halfway up in that hockey arena. There was some worship happening, and then someone spoke. And I don't know how to describe it other than I felt waves of God rolling over me. There was something in me that changed that day. I was no longer flat. There was a new anointing. This morning, I want to talk to you about fresh oil from God. Before we get into the heart of our message, we're going to hear the song from the album Heart of Worship, Volume 3, Men of Faith.
Sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior. to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord. This place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. And shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord.
First Samuel, the Bible tells the story of King Saul and King David. When we get to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, we find that God has rejected Saul's kingship and told Samuel the prophet to go to the house of Jesse. And when he got there, he asked Jesse to bring to show him his sons. When the prophet Samuel saw Jesse's oldest son, he thought, "Oh, this must be our new king. He is so tall, he's so handsome." But God said, "You look on the outside, I look on the inside. I haven't chosen him to be king." One by one, Jesse's sons walked by Samuel, but God didn't choose any of them. After the last one walked by and God said no, Samuel said to Jesse, "Is that all the sons you have?" Jesse said, "Well, there's the youngest, but he's out tending sheep." Samuel said, "We'll send for him." When David showed up, God said, "This is the one." And here's what 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 records. "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." David was anointed king, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Most Bible students see a strong connection between the anointing oil and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But from that day on, the anointing of the Spirit was with him. But you know, for the next 10 years, David ran. He was on the run from mad King Saul. Saul pursued David through towns and through deserts. For 10 years, David was a fugitive. Now I want to pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Saul and his sons had been killed in a war. David mourns them. But then the Bible records this in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. It says, "So David and his wives and his men and their families all moved to Judah, and they settled in the villages near Hebron. Then the men of Judah came to David and anointed him king over the people of Judah." Wait a second. I thought he was already anointed king. Well, he had been, but he was moving into a new chapter in his life. Things were different, and he received a fresh anointing. He was taking on new responsibilities. He received a fresh anointing, and he was made king of Judah, and he received a fresh anointing. Well, Judah was one of the tribes of Israel, but there were 12 tribes. Some of the other tribes supported the house of King Saul. They coexisted peaceably for a while, and then the army captains on both sides did something stupid, which we won't go into, but then a civil war erupted. 2 Samuel chapter 3 begins. This was the beginning of a long war between those who were loyal to Saul and those who were loyal to David. As time passed, David became stronger and stronger, while Saul's dynasty became weaker and weaker. There's a whole lot of political intrigue goes on, but when we get to chapter 5, it says this, Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader." So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah and Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. Hang on a second. I thought David had already been anointed king by Samuel. Yeah, he had. Thought David had been anointed king by Judah. Yes, he had. But now the elders of Israel are anointing him king. A fresh anointing. Is it any wonder that the psalmist declares in Psalm 92, verse 10, "But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil." In the Psalms, the psalmist was assaulted by enemies on every side. He was pushed to the brink, but God came through. He gave him a new lease on life, a new anointing for life. He was anointed with fresh oil. According to Psalm 23, "Where the Lord is my shepherd, what happens when he leads us into green pastures and beside still waters? He anoints our head with oil and restores our soul." Fresh oil. Let's listen to Psalm 23, sung by Eden's Bridge from the album Celtic Psalms.
He leadeth me more quiet.
Psalm 92 declares, "You have poured over me fresh oil." Psalm 23 declares, "You have anointed my head with oil." Maybe you're in a place where you need fresh oil. You may be doing all the right things. You pray, you help out in the community, you serve in your local church. Maybe you are even seeing success, but you know in the inside you're flat. Your spiritual gas tank is empty. Your spiritual life is stagnant. You desperately need fresh oil. If I was to use old Tang language, what we're talking about is a need for revival in our own lives. The impression that I get when I talk to many Christians is that they believe God is present in their lives, they believe God is there, they're doing good things, but many people I talk to, their spiritual lives are flat. I'm talking about fresh oil, talking about what the apostle talked about in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." When he says be filled with the Spirit, the tense of that verb is in the present. Keep on being filled. Fresh oil. Dwight L. Moody, one of the great preachers of the 19th century, was able to preach and attract large crowds. Every night when he preached, four or five people would come to know the Lord. But one night, two little old ladies met him at the door of the church and said, "Mr. Moody, we're praying for you that you'll be filled with the Spirit." He says, "Don't pray for me. Look at all the people who are coming. Every time I preach, people get saved." They said, "You need more." And they kept on praying. And one day when Mr. Moody was in New York City, the Holy Spirit came upon him in such power that he had to ask God to stay his hand. After that, he said, "I preached the same messages, but instead of five people coming to know the Lord, 50 people would come to know Jesus." He said that where before I was carrying buckets of water, now I had the river of life carrying me, fresh oil. But here's the thing. This kind of anointing is not just for preachers. When you become a Christian, whether you know it or not, God gave you at least one spiritual gift, and maybe more. It might be teaching or evangelism or gifts of mercy or helps. It might be the gifts of leadership or a gift of knowledge or faith. But all of you were given at least one spiritual gift. And they weren't given to us so that you could feel good about yourself. They were given to you so that you could use them to help other, or to use the biblical language for the common good. If you are going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, if you're going to be who God is calling you to be, then you may need fresh oil. Can you imagine those who are called to lead a Bible study, they lead it with fresh oil so people are transformed by the power of God in those studies? Can you imagine people with gifts of mercy or service using those gifts in a Spirit-led way so not only do things get done, but they do so in such a way that it bears fruits of righteousness and holiness and people coming to know Jesus? We need fresh oil. But there's more. Ed Savosa, in his book, Anointed for Business, talks about how, as a businessman, he knew that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit. God poured out oil into him. He built three businesses from the ground up. Why? Because that is what God called him to do. He was anointed for business, fresh oil. What I am talking about is something that not only happens in church. I believe that there's an anointing for business, an anointing for parenting, an anointing for work, as well as church. And I'm convinced right now that many of us need fresh oil. David was anointed king, but then he was on the run for 10 years. Then he started a new chapter in his life, and he was anointed again. He was anointed king over Judah. But that wasn't all. In a few more years, the whole country of Israel came together again, and this was the beginning of a great country, and David was again anointed afresh. Could it be that God has called you into a new chapter? Could it be that it is time for you to be anointed with fresh oil? The question is yes, but how? Well, there isn't a formula, but I will say this. When the day of Pentecost happened and when the Spirit of God descended on people, it happened in the middle of a prayer meeting. It happened at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they'd been praying for some time. One of the great revivals in the last couple of hundred years was in the Hebrides Islands in Scotland. The Spirit of God transformed the place. But before revival broke out, there was a small group of people praying. In fact, people who study these things say they can't find a single instance where you have a massive move of God where people were not first praying. You know, Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. It says, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I will tell you, even though he will not give up and give him bread because of his friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need the shameless audacity to ask God for fresh oil. We need to pound on the door of heaven until God gives us what we need. There are some things I don't get about God. I often go to God with the attitude, God, I know what I need, and God, you know what I need, so here I am asking for what I need, and I trust my need to you. So if God knows and I've prayed, then it's in God's hands and I can trust him with that. There's something good about that. But there are times when we just need to persist in prayer. We need to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I don't get why, but this seems to be one of those things that God calls us to. People, if we're going to see fresh oil poured out amongst us, we're going to have to consistently pound on the door of heaven. Some of you need to every day in your prayers call out to God, God, I need fresh oil. We need fresh oil. Some of you meet in prayer groups. Your group needs to call out for fresh oil. You need to keep calling out until it happens. Some of you know what I'm saying is good and right and true, and you know that you need it. But right now, the idea of persistent prayer is like scaling a mountain that's too big for you to climb. If that is you, you need to start with shooting arrow prayers to God. One quick sentence. God, I need you. God, anoint me with fresh oil. God, anoint the church I attend with fresh oil. Every time it comes to your mind, shoot off that arrow prayer. And it could mean that God will lead you into green pastures and beside still waters, and he will restore your soul. So then he can anoint your head with oil so your cup runs over. For the sake of your family, your church, your work, your life, storm the gates of heaven until you have the faith to say with the psalmist in Psalm 92, you have poured over me fresh oil. So let me pray for you. Father, you know our needs. And when we're spiritually flat, when we enter into different challenges in our lives, when we come to those places in our lives that are new places of responsibility, we need you. And we pray for fresh oil. We pray for fresh oil in our lives, a fresh anointing in business, in parenting, in life, in work, in our calling, in our churches. I pray, Lord, that you would indeed grant fresh oil. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement and for keeping us in your prayers. Keep this programming on the air continues to be a work of faith. And if you can help with that, we would appreciate if you would send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can donate online, Google Good News Christian Ministries. There are now several ways for you to access our program. If you have Rogers Cable, you will find it on Channel 927 at 6:30 on Sunday morning, as well as over this radio station. And also, I encourage you to visit our website and follow us on Twitter or on comment on our blog. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding love. This time we're going to send out our program with Guy Penrod singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We need never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.